Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Is there someone in the house that has a right ankle that is in pain? You want to come on up here? Weren't expecting that, were you? I wasn't either. We're even. You want to stand up here? What's your name?
Tyler.
Tyler, that's right. I just want to bless you, Tyler, right now. In Jesus' name, I just speak to that right ankle. And I command healing into it right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I bless your body. I break off any accident that was involved there. And I command that ankle to come into full alignment with the Lord Jesus Christ. I speak blessing over it. Pain has to go. Inflammation has to go right now in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for Tyler. I thank you for your great love for this young man. Lord, I thank you that you are raising him up to be a mighty man of God, one that stands tall, unashamed of who you are in him. I just speak blessing over your life and over your future. How does your ankle feel right now?
Feels good.
Any pain?
No.
Hallelujah. Jesus. Thank you. You're welcome. I just felt the Lord wanted to do that because what I'm going to speak tonight is about grace, living in God's grace. We don't often realize that we are living in the grace of God because of colds, because of illness, because of hard times, because of trials and tribulations that we all experience, and we forget that we have a God who is merciful and great, full of grace, has great grace for us. So what does that mean? How can we walk in the grace of God? That act right there of healing was by grace. It's by grace. It's not because I'm an amazing healer. It's because God's anointed me to heal by his grace, right? Jesus Christ paid for his healing. And so it is by the grace of God who sent Jesus to pay for everything that we as humans encounter, every negative thing that we encounter, Jesus encountered and overcame. And so healing is by grace. It's by grace. It's by grace that we're saved. It's by the grace of God. So how can we walk in the knowledge of grace, to live in that place of always being able to receive grace? Let me read this scripture here to you. It's in Hebrews 4. I have a cough drop in my mouth, so if I lose it, just don't pay any attention. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. In every way, Jesus was tempted or encountered what we go through. And yet he got through that. He conquered it without sin. Because of that, we have grace. We can walk in grace all the time. We can have a... it's how you think. Do you think you're not blessed? Do you think that you're less than, or that kind of thing? It's what you believe in, you're going to empower in your life. Verse 16 says, therefore, so because of Jesus, therefore, Let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. Grace is unmerited favor.
Yes, it is.
It is unearned favor. The throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find help in time of need. He needed help right there. Mm-hmm. That's as simple as it, and that's what it is. He needs help, and God chose to help him. God, he looked at him, and like, so I'm going to describe what the throne of grace looks like to you. And I want you to try and see that with me, because it's a real place. It has no, when you go into that room, it's not really a room. There's no walls. God's grace extends. I can't see the end of it. There's a throne in the center of this expanse. The floor is littered or strewn with rose petals. Like he couldn't lay out more welcoming, like we're welcome like a bride. When she walks down the aisles, there's rose petals strewn out for her. It's like that. God, this the welcoming. Papa wants us to come. The throne in that room is crystal, light crystal, and it radiates light. Papa is there, and his garments are white, and they're glowing and filled with love, like it's love. You can see it. It's living light that comes out of him, and it's warm and cleansing and encouraging, and it's life-giving. Any way that you approach the throne, he's there to meet you. Like you can try and come up like you think you're going to get in the back way or something, but he's always facing you. He can't not see you. And it says that we can come before that throne with boldness. That's a confidence in Papa, because he is grace. His grace is he's gracious. He's a good father, so he wants to help his children. He knows, Jesus sympathizes with our weaknesses. He's in flesh, right? Jesus came as deity and stepped into flesh so that he could be grace to us. He is the manifest word of God. And so God's like, I want to extend a one-time done deal grace so that my people can come before me anytime they want to receive it. And Jesus said yes to that. And so he stepped into flesh and he felt everything that we feel. And he didn't sin in it. How amazing is that? So what it says that we can obtain in that place is help in time. It's mercy. Mercy. It says we can receive mercy. If we go into this throne of grace, if we go into that place and we're before Papa, it's very humbling. It's very humbling. It should put you in the awe of God when you see him there. And it's like, so we can approach it with confidence like a child, like his child, because we're his. Right, we're his children. If you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are now adopted as one of Papa's own children. You're his child. And so children can go before their papa and receive grace and mercy. Mercy is compassion. It's guaranteed. So what stops us from going, what stops us from receiving is not because God's not giving. It's already given. But what stops us from receiving it? One thing would be an orphan spirit. We think that God doesn't love us, that he's angry at us, we're not good enough, you know, we're not. That's why we have grace. That's why we have Jesus. So we can stand. Jesus put us into righteousness, and because of his sake, we can now go into that room with confidence. But you have to be able to receive that. So one of the things I want to do tonight is pray over you. If you have that orphan spirit, that I don't belong to the Lord, or I don't feel loved by God, or he couldn't love me because I'm too bad, or that kind of thing. Another one is poverty thinking. I'm not good enough. I can't measure up. Nothing good ever happens to me. Those kinds of thoughts. We all have these. I've been there, done that. So those kinds of thoughts will put you into a negative mindset. And you'll start. So you can go into that throne of grace, but you don't expect anything. You might know that God loves you, but you're not expecting grace and mercy. You're not expecting him to help. You're not expecting the help. You're hoping, but it's weak. And half the time we're like, well, I know God can do this, but not for me, because what I've done is too bad. Or I keep doing it. And so that failure, that constant failure, is going to put you into a place where you think you're unworthy, you're not good enough, you're not ever going to be. It's a hopelessness. So poverty thinking, orphan spirit, those things will. So when we go into that throne, we are like covered with a shield that we can't see clearly. It might be a colored shield like sunglasses or something. And so you walk in there and you're not seeing the full, and you're not receiving the impact of that grace, because when that grace touches you, it's forgiving, it's loving, it's kindness, it's help, it's a knowing, it's not so much a feeling. God wants to get our head knowledge of what we believe in the word into our heart, right? Our heart needs to line up with our head, because we tend to be double-minded. We know the truth, but we don't walk in the truth. And the truth is, we can walk in the grace of God all the time. We live and exist in the grace of God, knowing that he's going to be our help in time of trouble. His mercy is always available to us. His compassion is always available to us. He doesn't withhold his compassion when you sin. You're still his child. So his compassion is still for you. We have to be careful that we don't take his compassion and his mercy, his grace, for granted. We don't want to be presumptuous of the Lord. That you might get some discipline and correction for, but that is also grace and mercy. God does discipline us, and it's for our good, so that we walk in that place of being humble and being in awe of him, his goodness and grace. I want to read you a scripture in Isaiah. I love going to Isaiah. It often, in several places, it talks about the Lord Jesus as if he were already there. And this is written about 600-700 years before Christ. But God, his love is so profound, and his that his, so he wanted to touch us personally, like so that we would know it. After Adam and Eve sinned, he couldn't have that personal one-on-one, like stand there with them anymore because sin separates. And they were cursed then. But his whole plan was so that he could have a one-on-one relationship with us so that we would know him, not just in our head, but in our heart. So he sent Jesus, and then Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to dwell in us so that we have that one-on-one. Now we have that one-on-one. Then the more you tap into it, the more you learn to tap into Holy Spirit, the closer you're going to feel and the closer you're going to know you are insecure in being able to walk into that throne room and say, Daddy, I fell down. And I need you to love on me. I need your forgiveness. Or, Daddy, I'm struggling right here. I don't know what to do next. You know, when you hold unforgiveness to yourself, I feel like there's several of you here doing that. There are things that you've done that you can't forgive yourself. And we hold on to that unforgiveness. We expect others, you know, we expect that from other people, unfortunately, unforgiveness. But we often will hold unforgiveness to ourselves. And when we do that, what we're doing is we're trying to discipline ourselves. We think that if we hold unforgiveness, that we're going to keep ourselves in line and we're going to keep ourselves from doing that, whatever that is again. We're going to keep from falling again. It's a self-protection. It's if I hold that and I'm judging me, and so that keeps me in line. It reminds me of what I've done. It keeps you punished all the time. And the Lord's released you from punishment, right? And so when you go into the throne room of grace and mercy, you're not able to receive it fully because you don't believe you deserve it. And you can't even give it to yourself. We don't need that self-protection. It doesn't work. We need to be able to extend grace to ourselves, because if we can't extend grace to ourselves, how can we extend it to others? Jesus says to love yourself first. Love others like you love yourself. Love me first. Love others like you love yourself. And so to the depth that you're able to love yourself, love the Lord, and then accept yourself is how you love others. So we need to let go of that unforgiveness, that self-judgment. It's a demonic assignment against you, so that when you walk into the throne room of grace and mercy, you won't be able to receive it. And God's already done it. Jesus has already paid the price. And yes, you don't deserve it, but that's the point. That's what grace is. It usurps the deserving. You don't have to earn it. You can't earn it. We can't be good enough. That's what the law was all about, to prove to us that we can't. But he can, and he has, and so therefore we need to receive it. So let go. Choose to forgive yourself, because you're not doing, you have this wall of separation between you and God when you hold on to that unforgiveness. And you can say, oh, Londa, but you don't know how bad a thing I've done, or how badly I've failed, and the list can go on and on. God's grace is bigger than your sin. His grace is bigger than your sin. There is no sin too big that there's not grace for. Yeah. So Jesus came. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. God wants to speak to the hearts. He's after our hearts. The more we receive His grace and mercy, His goodness, His love, the more we receive that, the more peace, the more joy, the more feeling of well-being that we have. The brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners. So when you hold unforgiveness, you're actually holding yourself prisoner. And that's something Jesus came to set you free of. You know, He doesn't want you to be in prison. That was not God's design. Papa does not, you know, that hurt, like His heart aches when we put ourselves in prison, because He's like, do you not see what my son's done for you? No, you don't have to stay there. That's not my heart for you. That's not my design for you. That's not my gift to you. I've come to set you free. So we choose. We choose what we're going to walk in. We can choose freedom or we can choose bondage. But we have that power of choice. So be careful what you choose. To proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. There will be a day of judgment, but it will be done with great perfection. God's judgment is perfect. And when that day comes, He will separate those that are His from those who are not. But until then, we all have that. If you belong to Jesus, you don't have to worry about that judgment. You are free to be, and you can face that judgment knowing that you're His. You need that confidence. To grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes. We need to get out of the ashes. We need to stop thinking in lack. We need to stop thinking in woe is me, or I'm so horrible, or anger that we hold against others. All these things, every negative thought will keep you in prison. It's bondage. It's stinking thinking. You know, it doesn't release you to walk into that throne room and say, Papa, I need you. You know, he knows we're needy. He's not, he loves it when we admit our neediness. He loves it. Huh? You know, I'm a parent, and when my children were little and they would come to me with a need, it just, like, you know, it touches your heart. Like, you want to help them. You want to be kind, but a lot of us didn't have that. Our parents, for some reason, didn't. One reason or another, were either absent, or they didn't know how to be good parent, a loving parent, and so we don't know how to relate to that. Let Papa teach you how to relate to that. Let Jesus teach you how to relate to love, how to receive it. You don't have to guard your heart against the love of God. He loves passionately. He's a very passionate God. He is, like, His joy is joyful. His love is complete. It lacks no good thing. It's intense. And so everything, he wants to help you to know Him in those ways. The more you release yourself and release all the negative things, the more you release yourself into that place. You go and sit in that throne room and you sit on the floor and you just look at Him. Let Him wash you. Let him just wash and take all that burden and those hard things and the judgment and the anger, and let Him clean that up. Say, God, help me. That's what going before that throne is. Just, God, help me. Help me. Help me to receive. I give you the bad stuff. you know, I give you all that junk. I want to receive something of value. Because the negative thinking has zero value in the kingdom. And you're a kingdom, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a kingdom, you are supernatural, and you belong in the kingdom, and you need to think like it. Our thinking needs to line up, because that's our identity, not the negative stuff, not the experiential knowledge the experiences that you've had. That wants to define you. That wants to put labels on you. We tend to want to remember our past and remember all the injustices done to us and all of the negative things, the times the kids were bullied us or whatever our parents lacked, whatever horrific things. We want to hold on to those things because it feels like if I don't hold on to it, then there's no justice. And the Lord is saying, let it go, because I'm the one that brings justice. And unless you let it go, I can't do anything with it. And so we need to let it go. We need to go in that throne room and say, here, Papa, take it. Take it. I choose to break that bondage off of me, and I choose to let my past go. I choose to forgive. I choose to release my parents. I choose to release my husband or my wife or whoever. I choose to release them. I extend forgiveness because you've forgiven me. And I ask you to clean it up. Help me. It's asking for help, and it says that we can expect it. So he doesn't want us to stay in the ashes. Oil of gladness instead of mourning. We don't need to stay in mourning. We don't need to be mourning our past, mourning past relationships, mourning what didn't happen. That's poverty. We celebrate what is happening. We celebrate God. We celebrate Jesus Christ. We celebrate Holy Spirit in us. We celebrate the church, our friendships and our relationships in the church. We celebrate Jesus. If you don't have anything to celebrate, you need to look at the one who is everything to you. He's worth celebrating. Not one of you can say, I don't have anything to celebrate. There's always Christ Jesus, and he's your help. The mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting. So we want to faint from, oh my goodness, I'm overwhelmed. I feel weak. I feel inadequate. I'm like those kinds of things. We want to grow faint. We want to grow weary. We tend to grow weary. Our flesh is really likes that negative stuff. Our flesh wants to gravitate towards that negative stuff, and so we need to. It says to resist the enemy; he'll flee from you. We need to stand up and fight our own flesh, and so start blessing your flesh. Sometimes I look at my flesh and I see it as a costume. It looks like Londa. And so I'll unzip it and take it off, and I'll go set it on the throne, on the altar in front of Jesus. And I say, you fix it. You got to fix this, because I don't know what to do with it. You know, it won't obey me. So seriously, I do that. And then I let him to begin. I sit there and I listen to him speaking to me about my flesh. And I start letting him cleanse me and strengthen me. And he strengthens my flesh so that I'm quicker to resist the schemes of the enemy. I'm quicker to stand up and bless me instead of cursing myself. I'm quicker to receive his love and grace and mercy than I am to reject it or to think I'm not good enough. So they will be called So when you let the Lord get have his way with you, then you're going to be called an oak of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So that's what he's after, to cause you to be an oak so that you can stand in any storm and not be shaken. And that you'll bear fruit in a time of drought, that you'll stand and be a lighthouse to others, that you'll, there's all kinds of metaphors, is that the right word, in the word that talk about what God's plan for you is. So I'd like to just have some instrumental, if we can, right now. The Lord wants to, I just feel like an orphan spirit, a spirit of poverty, those kinds of negative thinkings. I feel like the Lord wants to speak to that tonight. And then we're going to, I'm going to call out some things, other things that I see that need healing. And we're going to just go for it. I just want to invite you to stand. And if you feel like that negative, like you're holding on to unforgiveness, if you feel like you're having trouble with, I invite the healing team to come up. Feeling like you're holding on to unforgiveness, feeling like you have trouble letting go of your past, that you're even self unforgiveness. I invite you to come forward. We're just going to start worship, just some instrumental. And I'd like the team to just begin to... So come on up. And that if you have trouble getting out of old habits, breaking off, like you feel you're burdened, bondage... those kinds of things. If you have struggle with hope, if you feel hopeless, all of those negative emotional things that want to consume you, I invite you to come up and we're going to pray for you. Go ahead. And we're going to just release, Holy Spirit, we just invite you here right now. Just invite you in greater measure. God, I thank you. I thank you that you love to release your grace. Thank you, Jesus. I praise your holy name. I thank you for the throne of grace and mercy, that it never fails. It's always available. Jesus, thank you. Praise your holy name. Come on, step on up here and get like spread out here so the other people that come up the aisle can get in. Anybody with a right shoulder that hurts, that's having trouble with your right shoulder? Want to come on over here? Come on. Can be more than one. Come on, come over here. If you have the right shoulder, is in pain, come over here. Go ahead, babe. Oh, you have a... Like there's somebody here that had, so we just had four healings right here with the, so isn't that awesome? Thank you, Jesus, for grace. It's grace. God's grace is here tonight. If you have stomach issues, I feel like that's the next thing the Lord wants to address. And you want to come over here? Just feel like there's someone with stomach issues. Issues. Roy, if you want to come up and pray, you're welcome to.
Healing.
Breaking old habits. I don't know what they are, but they're like it's a habit that just nags you, that you have trouble getting rid of, that you'd like to get rid of. If that's you, I invite you to come on up.